Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. Hey, Liz.
Hey, Sarah.
How's it going?
Good. I haven't seen you in so long.
I know.
So nice to be reunited.
From my quote-unquote bedroom to the living room?
Yes. So here we are.
Here we are. Quarantine day, like, what, 11, 12?
12.
Today's Sunday.
Yeah.
This Tuesday will mark 14 days.
2 weeks, yeah. It's been interesting. I have really liked a lot of aspects of our time together, and the things that I don't like have nothing to do with being here. It's just the state of the world, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Right. yeah, it's been an interesting, like,
yeah,
it's so funny because I feel like the days go by faster than usual, which you'd think that, like, working from home and lacking a routine
mm-hmm.
would make the days go by slower, but I feel like the days go by really fast. I can't believe it's almost been 2 weeks.
Same. I cannot believe it's been 2 weeks. Like, I don't know if it's because I'm enjoying it here or because, you know, every day kind of just feels like a blur.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like the last 2 weeks have just been one, like, long
amorphous
day.
Blob.
Yeah, yeah, like a blob.
One long day, totally. Yeah. And yet still it's not like long. Like I just
yeah.
I'm having fun. We have like so much food. We watch movies.
We drink a lot.
We had I'll get into it in my peak of the week, but we had Shabbat, mm-hmm. which was very lovely.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's nice. Like I talked about it on last week's episode. I think I'm just happy to not have obligations to feel like I need to go places. Mm-hmm. And I know that may sound like I don't know, like I'm living in a little bit of a bubble, but it's nice. Like I feel like my whole life I'm always like, should I be out doing something?
Totally.
And this is the one time everyone's like, nope, stay exactly
totally.
Where you are. No pressure. You don't have to go outside just because it's nice. Like, do you ever experience that when you're in New York
oh,
and
yes.
like the weather starts to get nice and you're just
it's
having a lazy day mm-hmm. and you're like, I know it's nice and like I want to take advantage of it, but also I just don't feel like it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Totally.
So I'm kind of, I'm happy about that part.
Me too.
Obviously there's a lot of like built up anxiety and uncertainty, but
yeah.
Yeah, so
I feel the exact same way. I'm like enjoying just being inside. I know that quarantine isn't, again, like we said this last time, but it's not like technically supposed to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But just like you in New York City, it's always go, go, go. And so for once, like not having an option and having to stay indoors and kind of just like social distance and, you know, relax because we have to relax.
Right.
It feels really nice.
It does feel really nice.
I'm sure like eventually I'll be like, I need to get out of here. And sometimes I feel like that. And then I just like go on the balcony.
Yeah.
But overall, it's been a good experience and I'm having fun with you guys.
We always talk about how we need like an HQ to just work together all day.
Cause yeah.
during the usual like work day,
yeah.
Sarah and I are texting back and forth all day with like content and messages and stuff. So it's nice to be able to just like turn around and be like, do you like this meme? Or even send it to you and we giggle because I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I'm sitting right here and I'm texting you.
Mm-hmm.
So that part is really nice. Like being able to be near, it's like a WeWork.
Yeah.
Being near the people I like work with and text the most.
Yeah.
Which is fun. Oh, also we've been able to interview some cool people because we are like doing a lot more remote stuff
mm-hmm.
and we feel more comfortable doing that because everyone is. So mm-hmm. we're not like, oh, it's poor quality. It's actually the perfect time to be interviewing people remotely.
Mm-hmm.
So today we interviewed Kate Kennedy from the Be There in Five podcast and she does a lot of pop culture commentary. She does infamous deep dives where she'll dive into like all types of really interesting but niche celebrity topics. Like she has a whole episode about Taylor Swift. She has a whole episode about like every reality star under the sun. She's just awesome. And I really like that she has like an analytical vibe to
mm-hmm.
everything that she talks about because I feel very similarly in the sense that I enjoy like what other people would call like trash TV, but I like
diving deeper.
And diving deeper.
Yeah.
And I think we both like that. We do that with The Bachelor and
Kardashians. Yeah.
Exactly. All those things. So yeah, we really enjoyed having her. Yeah. Do you want to get into Peek and Pit?
Sure thing.
Okay.
Do you want me to start?
Sure.
Okay. So my pit of the week is that unfortunately Core Power Yoga had to do some layoffs because it's natural at a time like this when there aren't studios open, like they can't have hundreds and hundreds of employees and just not be paying them. And there's like, you know, when the studios aren't open, like the employees can't be actually working. So I understand fully why they're doing it and why they did it, but just getting an email that's saying like you got laid off from Core Power. It did say temporarily. So, you know, the plan hopefully is that when the studios open back up, the teachers will start rolling back in into their classes. But given that we don't know what the future looks like right now, it's like they can't, they literally cannot make a call on when that's going to be or how that's going to look like because no one knows. But, you know, it's sad because I really do miss teaching and I miss going and I love Core Power Yoga so much. So I'm just looking forward to the day that we get back to it. And then my peak was on Saturday afternoon. So Liz and I kept Shabbat together this weekend. We like turned our phones off. But my specific peak was that Liz and I had some like really solid quality time together on Saturday. We just like talked about like life and I feel like it brought us closer, which, you know, it's crazy because sometimes when you're so close with someone and like we talk all day, every day, like between the podcast, life updates, friendships, hanging out in New York, whatever, we talk all the time. But then you learn so much more about a person when you're quarantined together.
Totally. And you don't have your phones.
So we literally, it was just like just us two, no phones, talking for like 3 hours. And it was really nice. And I really, really enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it too. For those people that don't know, Shabbat is the Jewish Sabbath, and a lot of people observe in different ways. Like, you know, in my family growing up, we, you know, kept electronics on and stuff, but we would often have dinners and light candles, and more, maybe some more religious people will completely turn off electronics, and like that includes cell phones. And so I decided to do that this week for the first time, which I actually have two peaks that I'm going to share, which I think usually we have rules, but this is a unique time.
Totally.
So I'm going to do peak, pit, peak.
Great.
So my peak in relation to your thing was just having my phone off. I really have always been the kind of person that would like lie to myself and say like, no, like I love my phone. It like keeps me connected to people, and it does, but it's also very toxic. And I was just so attached to it. And so last weekend I was like, no, I couldn't turn, I simply could not turn my phone off. And I did this weekend. I just like kind of psyched myself up for it. And because it also like, you and Chris are the people I talk to probably most frequently, separate from my parents. But I told them like before I logged off, like I'm logging off. And it was just wonderful. Like I didn't miss my phone at all. I love not having my phone. And I thought I got my phone back too soon, honestly. And also like we had movies on and stuff. Like we didn't do the whole shebang because we're with
people. But we didn't touch the remote.
We didn't touch the remotes. But like we're with people who are not observing. So like it wasn't a totally like
they put the movie on and we sat here and watched it with them.
Totally. So it was like a nice, but it was just so nice to not have my phone because honestly, yes, it's not like totally the rules of Shabbat to watch movies, but it just in general, like not having your phone and watching a movie is so unique because how many times do you watch a movie and you're just like scrolling on your phone anyway? So even that was just like really cathartic. Pitt was just like, I feel like a little lazy and we talked about this already, but I just feel like lazy, not sure if I should be producing more, creating more. Like so many people are like, this is the perfect time for content creators. And I'm just like, but is it though? But that's it. I mean, like that's my pit. There's a lot of anxiety going on. That's been the thing that is making me anxious. And then my other peak was talking to my therapist because she put a lot of things into perspective for me. I think a lot of people are afraid of saying that this is going to get better because people are A, like superstitious and B, unsure. Like who knows what it will look like. But she was like, humans are resilient. We've been through things before. She was like, I was looking for a job in 2008 when the economy crashed and, you know, it was tough and then things got better. And she was like, yes, this is unprecedented. But she was challenging me to think about like history, like literally human history and looking at all the different times when big bad things have happened and the way humans just like continued moving on after them and that things don't ever last forever, like everything's cyclical. So that was really comforting and it was just lovely to speak to her. Anyway, we hope you enjoy this episode with Kate Kennedy. It was great. We did the interview remotely.
Yeah.
Enjoy the show.
Enjoy.
You guys look beautiful.
Thank you. We're having like a Friday night Shabbat situation, so we got a little dressed up.
Oh, amazing. Are you roommates?
We're not.
We don't even live in Philly. We're just here.
Yeah, we both live in New York, but we're at my boyfriend's. We came here as soon as it started to get kind of crazy in New York.
You are so smart. I like wish I had the foresight to do that.
You live in Chicago, right?
Yeah, I do. And like, I don't know. My parents like live in the middle of nowhere in North Carolina. And I wish I had thought through because I would have just hopped down there before I, you know, became a risk to them.
Right.
And yeah, cities are weird. Like it's really, really cooped up.
Yeah, it was hard. And we had to make the kind of like last minute decision to come here because we were like, okay, we're either at home, which is nice to be at home mm-hmm. or and like alone, or we come to Philadelphia and like hang out together and have kind of a weird situation, but probably a better one. And I think we definitely made the right call.
Mm-hmm.
We've been saying like as challenging and crazy as this time is, we have kind of been having fun. Like it's me, my boyfriend, Sarah, and then my friend Ty. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like camp.
It's been a really fun quarantine, and we don't like saying that because it's not like quarantine isn't supposed to be fun. Like this, it's a weird time and where there's like tons of things that we're anxious about.
Right.
But we're actually like enjoying our quarantine situation, which has been really nice.
I mean, according to Hannah Brown and Tyler C, a quarantine can be fun.
Oh, that is very true.
Totally.
I mean, their quarantine crew is, I'm really jealous of
next
that.
Level.
What's, like, we're kind of like that.
We are kind of like that. We're like a more low-key version of that.
After this quarantine, though, their TikTok has like 200,000 followers. I'm like, what are you going to do with that handle?
I know.
It'll be like an archive of time, I guess, and then they'll revert back to their individual ones.
Right, and when they want to go viral again, they'll just be like, they'll make totally TikToks hard. Like, remember when we were in quarantine?
Right, like they'll pop back.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So Kate, can you tell us a little bit? I mean, if we have listeners who don't know about you, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. My name's Kate Kennedy. I am 32. I live in Chicago. And I, when I left school, I was in corporate marketing for about 6 years. And when I was, every day when I went to work, I was worried I was going to burn my apartment down. So I painted "Turn off your curling iron" on a doormat as kind of like a joke to remind myself. And then I put them on Etsy because my friends thought they were funny. And then these, what I called remind doormats, of doormats that were reminders, kind of went viral. And about a year in, we sold like thousands and thousands of doormats. My mom and I painted them wow. from like our living rooms. And I had to quit my job about a year in. And then I called the business Be There in Five because I figured the type of forgetful person using my products probably texted Be There in Five often to their friends when they're like 10 miles away. And I'm just kind of like always running behind, even though I mean well. And as I get like deeper into self-employment, I get my business up and running, and then I want to go back in the corporate world. Nobody would rehire me, even though I felt like I kind of had taken on the world. And so I kind of didn't know what to do. So I wrote a book. I ended up getting a book published. It's a children's parody book called Twinkle Twinkle Social Media Star. And during that time when I had like couldn't find a job, I was just trying to do other creative things. And I started a podcast called Be There in Five that was kind of about all of the aspects of pop culture that I didn't feel that, you know, they talked about on like E! News and the like, but you know, none of that stuff really impacts our day to day. And I wanted to kind of fill a white space of like, how can we elevate pop culture conversation so it's a little more intellectual and analytical, and also talk about the things we actually care about. Like, I'm not that interested in Jennifer Aniston, but like, have you seen Rachel Parcell's package receiving room, or like the like influencers we talk about on a day-to-day basis or whatever. So I've been doing the podcast for 2 years. The Mac company, I've licensed a lot of it out, and I'm writing other books, and I have a very weird like multi-hyphenate like career now that's a little bit of everything.
Great. That's amazing. I guess I would lead into the topic of our show, which is you're juggling so much like in mm-hmm. in your normal life, you know, like COVID-19 aside. How do you deal with all of the things that you're doing? How do you manage your mental health?
I think for a lot of people, you know, ambiguity really makes them feel like they're drowning, but I'm oddly energized by it. Mm-hmm. And even though there's not a real blueprint for my career, I just have seen, you know, tangible results through just honest effort and trying things. And I feel like it was really hard at the beginning, but now I have enough of like a track record or a sample size of like, no, this is good. Like I actually see more tangible progress than perhaps in a corporate role where my efforts are, you know, less direct. But it's honestly for me, like, I don't have a boss. I don't have anybody to reassure me. and I'm never going to be that impressed with myself. And I don't know if that I've perfected how to cope with my mental health. It's definitely become a much bigger factor since being self-employed because I'm so hard on myself. But what I try to do is I just can't compare a career that doesn't have a clear definition and blueprint to other people's because it's just not the same thing. And I think that's been a real lesson for me because I think we all know, especially with social media and whatnot, the comparison game will just crush you if you let it. So I've just kind of tried to keep my head down and do the work. And, you know, I think the more I stop comparing it to other people's, the better off I've been.
Totally.
Yeah, totally.
Probably like a year ago, I listened to your deep dive on Karlie Kloss and Taylor Swift, which was interesting. And I wonder, like, when I was listening to it, I mean, I find those theories so fascinating and fun. And like, I could tell by the way you do them, like you do everything in a kind of lighthearted way, but you manage to still keep it analytical. But I'm wondering, like, when you do stuff like that and you have a good following, do you ever get, you know, pushback? Do you get people who don't like what you're doing? And how do you manage that if you do get that sort of feedback?
Oh my God, all the time. That's been like torture. I think there are people that really brush things off well. And then I'm just very sensitive. And I think I've almost just had to learn, like, everyone says, oh, you grow a thick skin. I've almost had to just accept that I maybe won't. And that the less I engage with that sort of thing, the better. Like, I love well-intentioned feedback and constructive criticism. But yeah, for the Taylor Swift example, her fans are intense. Oh. And it's been a little tricky trying to navigate that. And I've actually backed off talking about her a ton because I didn't like that interaction so much. So honestly, I'll modify the content to a degree if it gets to the point where it's affecting my ability to discuss things with clarity and without, because at a point, you know, you start to talk not from your own genuine interest, but in response to what people are saying about you. Mm-hmm. And I think as if you're like a content creator, if you're a creative period, you have to be really mindful of how much of that information and feedback you absorb if it's not going to ultimately change what you're doing, right?
Right. I think it's interesting because you always hear people say, like, be authentic on the internet. And to some extent, I appreciate and value that. Like, you don't want to be fake, but also you shouldn't feel pressure to talk about things or to, you know, give your voice to things if people are responding so negatively. You know, like, I think there's people place these unreasonable expectations on content creators to both talk about everything and anything and be inclusive. But then when you get so much pushback for one thing, it can just be like, you know, a challenging thing to balance.
Oh, absolutely. And I think most people, you know, the further you get into any avenue of content creation, I think the more, you know, listeners or bigger audience you get and the more feedback you get, you start to actually perceive things very differently. And like, it kind of dictates the way you talk about it. And I think I've changed a lot since having this podcast because when I started it, I was more of just like a normal consumer, but now having kind of like one foot in, one foot out, I understand the reasoning behind why a lot of like influencers like do stuff. Mm-hmm. And I am a lot more empathetic toward them. And I think, like, you know, sometimes people wish I more like call people out like I did when it was earlier in the podcast. But like at that point, it was a much smaller audience and I was just like talking. But now, even though my opinions have modified, I've changed too. So being authentic now isn't me 2 years ago. It's me as I've evolved.
Have you talked about mental health at all on your podcast, like maybe even before COVID-19?
Yeah. It's not the center of the conversation, but I always kind of, even though my episodes are light, I typically close them out with something like a little more intense because I'm actually kind of a serious person, even though my podcast is kind of inherently unserious. But I've tried to talk a lot about like how over the years I've kind of realized, I'm trying to think of how to put this. I've always known I felt like kind of moody. Like when I was a kid, I was writing like poems and sitting in the rain. I've had like rough phases of my life where I felt pretty low and I didn't know to take a step back from it and assess it as something separate from like who I am as a person. And I had virtually no awareness of mental health until I was like well in my 20s. And something I've tried to share is like the first step for me was understanding that I'm not just a function of my environment and my circumstances. I'm a function of my wiring first and foremost. And my environment's like a more incremental factor. And I think when you, like, I've had a great life, I have good parents, I've, you know, minimal trauma. Mm-hmm. And I think that I trivialized anything I felt as being like, you know, come on, like, you know, you have no reason to be sad. And I just kind of like wrote everything off and never really embraced like that, you know, I have a melancholic disposition. I have a propensity for depression, like, cause I didn't think I had a reason to, but you don't always need a reason to, right? Totally. And I think that's something I've tried to share with people because like even I had an epiphany that recently that like I was out of school for 3 weeks, almost a month in seventh grade because of like some stomach issue. And I had all these tests and like ultrasounds and all this stuff. And then a few weeks ago, I was like, holy shit, that was anxiety.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what it was at the time. And like to go so far as to given a seventh grader an ultrasound and like all these tests about me physically, but nobody asked me how I was feeling mentally is kind of wild.
Right. Right.
And so like when I think of those things, I try to share them, especially if people have kids or whatever, because I think sometimes you just don't even know what it is because you don't know. It's kind of like someone says they have heartburn until you have it. You don't know what it feels like.
Mm-hmm. You know, mental health, talking about mental health, like it doesn't even necessarily need to be always a very like serious conversation. Like what Liz and I are trying to do is bring it into the world in a way where we can just talk about how we're feeling, but it's not like scary because we know that so many people are going through things, or, you know, sometimes you're having a bad day or you're feeling anxious and you want to talk about it, but it doesn't have to be this like secretive thing because you've heard so many people talk about anxiety before. So yeah. So really appreciate that you're doing that as well. And being like a public figure and having your name out there, we like love learning about how people are, how people handle that. Because it's not always easy when you have eyes on you.
Well, I have a question for you guys. I'm interested in this, like how people handle this, because for me, what's been tricky is like to explain a situation that I've been going through that helps put context around, you know, whatever it is without bringing other people into it that didn't sign up for this. Mm-hmm. Right. And so sometimes I like will omit things from the story because they involve other people and I want to be more transparent about like mental health stuff, but there's kind of a line where I have to like only speak for myself. And like, do you ever run into that where you feel like, okay, maybe I shouldn't, like this person will know I'm talking about them or whatever?
Yes. I mean, it goes through every sphere of my life personally. Like if I'm talking about a challenge I had at work, if I'm talking about a challenge mm-hmm. in my romantic relationship or with my family, there are often times when I want to show people, hey, this is a normal part of life, but I don't want to be so specific as to, you know, bring people into my life and shed any negative light mm-hmm. on my relationships because that's not fair to them.
Right.
And also I'm just one person. So my experiences and the way that I deal with them is just one-sided. And as much as I'm trying to like shed light on that, I do run into that sometimes. So I guess we try to be, I don't want to use the word vague, but probably vague.
Yeah. And, you know, Liz and I both work 9-to-5 jobs still.
Right.
And so a lot of our stress has come from our careers. And,
yeah,
you know, we talk about it on the podcast because it consumes so much of our lives. But it's also hard to because people at work listen to the podcast.
Right.
So it is tricky. And I think what we try and do is we're honest and we're authentic about what we're going through. But at the same time, we also like make sure to reiterate that we're like grateful for what we have and we're not trying to like complain. These are just normal things that people go through. And personally for me, I don't want anyone at work to be like, oh, Sarah's just sitting there complaining about work.
Right.
I want it to be like, okay, she's stressed about work and she's being honest about that. And that's okay because that's normal. But yeah, I always come off like grateful. It is tricky though. It's definitely tricky. And you know, we have to be as authentic as we can be, without like trying, like hurting others or, affecting anyone.
Yeah.
I kind of want to rebrand complaining.
Right.
Because I think we all are too hard on ourselves and we're like, oh, I don't want to complain. But it's like, well, aren't you allowed to talk about your mm-hmm. negative feelings? Totally. And I think I catch myself sometimes too doing that like faux positive thing where I'm like, well, to your podcast, I'm like, oh, it's fine. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And like, I'm trying to kind of deconstruct that in my head because like my whole life, you know, it was kind of like manners and politeness first, tell the truth second. And, but you know, as an adult, I'm just like, why do I do that? It doesn't make sense. And, but yeah, then it's not, you know, it could be received as complaining. It's interesting. And the fact that you have 9-to-5 jobs, good for you for starting this. Cause that I forgot that piece. That's what I would say is the hardest part is it's like to put yourself out there and to share in an honest and confessional way. It's like embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Like it can be. And sometimes I like will put, you know, I'll like put out an episode. I'll go like scream into a pillow. I'm like, oh my God, like my mom's going to call me. Someone's going to whatever. Like, and I think that people's you know, awareness of people in their immediate circle, being critical of what they're doing prevents them doing something much bigger for a target audience that is way more important and way broader than their immediate life. Mm-hmm. And I just always, you know, want to encourage people that you have to like push past that. Like, it just doesn't matter what those people think. They're not your target audience. They're not an adequate cross section that you should project onto your idea. Right. They're actually often can be noise. And, I think that was the biggest hurdle at first. It's just like, yes, I know it's weird to think, say like, oh, I have things to say and people want to listen, but like you do, and people should listen.
Right.
And, you know, just to own it, I think that's an important piece. Like, because even when my family or like uncles listen, they're like, you know, I don't really they'll ask me about like YouTubers. They're like, why do you talk about these people? And I'm like, you're not my audience. Don't try to make me feel stupid for.
Right.
I think it's really interesting you say that, because I've actually expressed to Sarah that I have an easier time talking to like a few thousand people mm-hmm. on my Instagram or via this podcast than I do talking about the same things in front of like my loved ones or my close circle. I think, and Sarah feels the same way when she's with the podcast, of course, but when she's teaching yoga, like mm-hmm. when, you know, she's teaching a class of 30 people, she's like really in her element. And I was in awe that she was able to like maintain that same decorum when I went into her class, because I was like, if I was so good at something, but then you walked in the door, like I would not be able to do it. Because I think there's a sense of, you know, the people who are closest to you are, can be your biggest critics because they care so much about you. And I really
yeah.
know what you're saying. Cause I totally know what you mean.
Yeah, no, it's super scary sometimes, but I think that once you get past the point where you've done it enough, people don't care anymore. It's right. just the beginning.
Totally. So I am curious about how you're adapting to this time, both personally and in terms of the content that you're putting out.
I was about to ask the same question.
You know, I'm like trying to be more like, I don't know. I think like everyone else, it's one day at a time, and I'm probably not doing a perfect job, but I don't think anybody can respond perfectly to a situation they've never been in before. And I'm kind of just decided I'm going to let myself feel how I feel, whatever it is that day. Like if it's a bad day, it's a bad day. And I'll just like step away from social media. I won't record. I'll just like, I got a Super Nintendo. I'm like regressing. I'm eating buttered noodles. I don't even know what I'm doing. But yeah, I've just been trying to like kind of really not look past the immediate next couple days and to harness the time creatively. I think I realized I don't like in this sort of situation, I don't love watching TV and I don't love zoning out because I can't. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of been working a ton, but I'm happy doing that. My job isn't like other people's. So I think for me, I am just trying to not be overwhelmed because I'm a person that does like to have things to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And obviously we've all canceled everything. But in terms of my content, I've been trying to do things that are either totally mindless or mindful and like no in between almost. Like I had an episode about like dipping sauces, like, or last week I had an episode where I spent half the time talking about how badly I wish I could walk through like a Marshall's or a TJ Maxx. Mm-hmm. And I normally hate those cluttered places, but suddenly I'm like romanticizing the stray pillowcases in the aisles and like the sticky skincare. Cause I just like want to be outside perusing something.
Totally.
So I think like, you know, what I'm trying to do is talk about how I'm struggling, but in like a humorous way, that's a bit of an escape, mm-hmm. but also like I have an episode next week that's coming out where I crowdsource listener stories about their examples of like seeing signs from past loved ones or synchronicities or whatever from the universe. And it's serious, but it's uplifting. And so I'm kind of almost trying to go the route of like, it's so shallow, you forget what's going on, or it's so deep that you almost transcend the problem and remember something greater. So that's kind of been what I've been doing as of now.
How have you been like coming up with content? Like, do you just in this time, do you just wake up and you're like, I know what I want to talk about on my next episode? Or how do you come up with them, especially right now?
I think like, in times like this, I think it's more important to be like a person than an influencer.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people have gone the route of like, what do you want to see more of? And have been kind of strategic around it, which works for some people. But for me, I'm honestly just like, if I feel like doing this day, I will. Whatever's on my mind, I'll post it. And that's kind of how I've always operated. And just like, you know, you find a group of people that understand you. And if whatever feels authentic to you at that time, they'll probably understand. And so I haven't really been overthinking it, which I almost think is better for me, because I think you could look at this time as like a lot of pressure, because theoretically you have the time to be curating great content. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you don't deserve the grace to also have the same ups and downs anybody who follows you has, right?
For sure.
You obviously know so much about pop culture, and Sarah and I do take pride in knowing a lot too, but I think one thing that'd be interesting to talk about with you is a lot of celebrities have been getting flack for the way that they're handling this mm-hmm. whole COVID thing. And first of all, I really appreciated what you said about influencers in the beginning, because I often feel the same way. I don't know if it's good, but I always have empathy for the people that, you know, all of a sudden everyone comes for, because I don't know, I just can't imagine being the type of person with millions of eyes on me. So I do have empathy for those people. And I'm wondering sort of, A, what you think about the, you know, the comments that maybe are inappropriate, how we're handling it as a society. And are there celebrities also that you think are doing a really good job with their platforms during this time?
I think the problem with social media is it's so often less about what they're doing and so often like our situation relative to theirs. Mm-hmm. And like, I think for me, the worst part of celebrities, or really a lot of people, is like, I feel very confined in my high rise, and like I can't go anywhere. Like I don't have outdoor space. Like I live with my husband and dog in like essentially a large room, like divided into pieces. And you know, then people are like, "Oh my god, going stir crazy from their in-home basketball court." And I'm like, "Okay, like, are you really going stir crazy? You live in a compound." But that's not wrong. That's their life and their normal. And I'm comparing it to mine. Mm-hmm. And I think over time, I've learned like to separate when are they doing something empirically wrong, and when is it wrong relative to what I'm feeling at that time? That's, you know, really just a function of how I'm feeling. But yeah, I think like there's just, I don't know, it's a hard line to toe. I think that humor helps minute by minute and just like string our days together. But it, you know, depending on who it catches at what time, it can read as insensitive. And like I said, I don't expect anybody to handle it perfectly. But I guess for me personally, the biggest point of annoyance is people talking about how they're bored, stir crazy, or going, you know, losing it from their 5,000 square foot house.
Like the Imagine video, like, didn't exactly land well. But the celebrities that are like using music and using their voice to bring people together, which like, I completely agree, is really nice.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see people like going live on Instagram. I know people make fun of that, but like it really has been bringing people together. And like I've been consuming more content than ever because I feel like I need it. And I feel like if we don't have the human connection like in person, then the best we can do is digital, is like online. And I'm grateful that we have that right now, because I don't know what we would do without it.
Totally. I'm like so over people knocking lives. I think like we should just let people experiment and let people connect. And I think people mm-hmm. forget everybody has their own audience and their own level of engagement. And even if you're not their biggest fan, it doesn't mean someone else isn't. And they have every right to connect with them, and they should, because it means a lot to people. Right. And yeah, I'm all for the lives. I mean, the notifications are kind of aggressive, and I have found myself in a few weird ones. And then I feel too bad to leave the lobby because I'm the only one there.
Totally.
Yeah, I think it's fun. But like, I think there's a lot of influencers too. I mean, like, aren't you guys big fans of The Toast?
Yes,
that's how we met, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, we love that. No, I think it's so cool that they're, well, A, like, it's hard enough for me to do a podcast weekly. I think it's so cool that they're still showing up every day. And I think consistency is important. If people rely on them in the morning, it's important they're still there. And like, it's hard sometimes to be there every day, especially on video. And I think they've done a really good job, like, keeping it light, but not acting like it's not happening.
Right.
Totally.
Right.
I think it's a unique challenge for, you know, content creators or celebrities, because yes, of course they have tremendous privilege, but there's also, you know, there's a lot of eyes on them now. And there's like this global situation that nobody really knows how to handle. Sarah and I think a few months ago at this point had a blogger, a New York City blogger on our show. And she uses her platform a lot to talk about, you know, how grateful she is. Like, she acknowledges mm-hmm. that she's had privilege in her life, but she also is trying to bring some great content to people to help them like be healthier. And she's just a great person. And she actually took to Instagram, I think like a week ago, talking about how she was in Florida at her parents' house. Like, that's where she's been for this whole time. And, you know, she's been trying to provide help to people and talk about anxiety and talk about mental health. And a lot of people were giving her feedback, like, how can you say these things when you're, you know, in Florida, like in this tropical, beautiful place, and you don't have anything to worry about. And I just felt like, you know, of course we have to be worried about all the people really going through trauma, but that doesn't mean we need to bring down people who are just doing what any of us would do if right. we were in those circumstances. And it just showed me that, you know, that's not a reflection on her. That's a reflection on the people just being afraid and not knowing where to place their anxiety.
Totally. That's such a good point, and something that I think is like almost impossible to navigate in terms of acknowledging privilege, but also speaking from personal experience in an honest way. And what I always try to remind people is, like, any therapist will tell you pain is pain. And the worst thing you can do is like minimize it based on your circumstances. And I think it's Absolutely. Important for other people to let other people process and communicate their emotions independent of like their, you know, wealth or their physical circumstances. Because honestly, as we all know from the Countess Luann Money Can't Buy You class, but also really it can't like buy you happiness either. I think like we have to remember, like, you know, every stage of my career, I think I'll be incrementally happier, but I'm the same person.
Right.
Right.
Thank you so much. This has been awesome. I don't know if you have any other sort of advice or insight mm-hmm. for, you know, your followers, our followers, on just dealing with this kind of challenging time. You've already given us a lot of advice, but if you have any other words you want to share, we'd be happy to honor them.
The only thing I would say is, like, for people that live alone or are single, yes, it's social distancing, but like physically distance, but like keep in touch with people. But beyond putting the pressure on mm-hmm. the person who's living alone, call your friends, especially if you know they're single or solo, or if you have a grandparent in a nursing home, anybody who's potentially alone. Don't rely on them to reach out to you, check in on them. I think we need to be active mm-hmm. Friends just as much as they need to be active about socializing, because I think it is yeah. extremely isolating and difficult to look into the unknown and to not have physical company in the near future, if you're an extrovert especially. And we usually don't worry about the extroverts as much, but I think they're really suffering right now. So make sure you're reaching out to yeah. people.
Absolutely. I love that advice so much.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again, Kate. Yeah. We hope you have like a great weekend and you continue to navigate this time, this challenging time, like as best as you can. And thank you for being a resource for so many people. We'd love to plug you. So let us know.
Please plug yourself.
Yeah. Let us know where people can find you.
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, I love what you guys are doing. I think this is so important to be like examples of like fun, successful young women that like all the normal things and the pop cultural things in life, but also have incredible depth, but can incorporate it in a way that doesn't feel heavy. I think that's a talent, and it's amazing. You can find me on Instagram at Be There in Five, FIVE, not the number five. The podcast is the Be There in Five podcast. My book is Twinkle Twinkle Social Media Star. And yeah. That's all.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And yeah, hope you have a great weekend and stay healthy and safe.
Thank you. Likewise. Take care.
We are back.
We hope you enjoyed that segment with Kate. She was such a pleasure to speak to. You can find us on Instagram at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod, on Twitter at It's Fine I'm Fine PD. You can follow me on Instagram at Liz Height, on Twitter at Liz Tweets 5.
You can follow me at Sarah L. Sassone, that's N like Nancy, on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. If you can just help me get my TikTok likes up, that would be really... One of my recent videos got like 55 and I was like... It's happening. Have you seen those? It's like, it's happening.
Yeah, of course.
It's happening. And then at the end, it's in like, well, oh, I was talking, people use that sound yeah. though.
Everyone calm down. It's fucking happening.
Yeah. yeah. And then like all of a sudden they're like, meh, never mind.
Yeah.
And with that. It's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye.